bless your name, God. How many of you know that he deserves the highest praise? How many of you really know that God deserves the highest praise? Come on, I need somebody to help me out this morning. If you really know that our God deserves the highest praise, I need for you to lift up from your seat and give him the glory this morning. That's due unto his name. It's all because of the Lord. It's because of his goodness. It's because of his mercy. We give him the highest praise because it's so due unto him. Father, we just bless you this morning. We bless you this morning. Not of our own accord, Lord God. It's nothing that we could have done, Father, to be here today, God. But because of your grace, because of your mercy, and your unfailing love, God, we are yet here. And so, God, because of that, we are offering up to you the highest praise this morning. 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 We come to bless the Lord. We come to Shabbat him. We come to lift him up. We come to magnify his name this morning. Hallelujah. 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 We bless your name, God. You are worthy. You are so worthy. We honor the name of the Lord. We honor his presence. He is the King of Kings. Come on with me. If you know that, you know that. He is the God of our Father. He's the one that we cry, Abba, Father, who art in heaven. We thank you. Oh, God, I worship you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. This is a new day. And the Bible declares, behold, I'm doing a new thing. And it has been declared in this sanctuary, Sunday after Sunday, since the year began, that God is doing a new thing. Even though we may not understand it, we not be able to perceive it, but if we look at what's going on around us, if we look at what's going on among us, if we look at what's happening to us, we have to declare that we find ourselves in a place that we've never been before. But I have good news for you, because it doesn't matter where you find yourself at what place you may be in, wherever you go, you need to know that God is there. He is already there. He is already there. So I come. My assignment this morning, you need to catch it. You need to catch it real quick, because I'm going to be quick and I'm going to be short. And I'm going to say what thus says the Lord. And we're going to praise God just a little bit more. Is that all right with everybody? You're not here by accident. This was your appointed day. This was your appointment. And as I said to the brother earlier this morning, you just happened to be here, so you say, but your steps was ordered by God. How many of you know that you're in the right place at the right time? And all you need to know that's where you are, that the presence of the Lord is in this place. And I know without a shadow of doubt that God's presence is in this place. I know that his presence is here to heal. His presence is here to deliver. His presence is here to save. His presence is here to take back. I need somebody to get with me this morning. I didn't come to entertain you, but I come to lift up Jesus. Oh God, I worship you. I worship you. I worship you. I thank you, God. I bless you. I bless you. Before we go any further, before I go any further, let me just honor the grace in this house and the grace upon the man of God that's in this house, Bishop Elect. Let me say that again. Let me honor the grace that's in this house. The grace that you sit upon Sunday by Sunday. The grace that you call upon in a time of need. That's the grace that I want to honor this morning in this house. the bishop elect. I honor the presence and the spirit of the Lord that's working in his life, even in this day, because even he too can declare even today that God is doing a new thing. As he would say, I don't understand it. It doesn't make any sense to me, daughter, but I trust him. And oftentimes we find ourselves trying to make sense of things that doesn't seem to make sense. We try to understand. And as I said to many of you before, understanding is overrated. We need to get to a point where we stop trying to figure everything out and say, God, I trust you. It doesn't feel good, but God, I trust you. It doesn't look good, but God, I trust you. God, I don't know how I'm going to get through this, but God, I trust you. God, I know what I'm working with, but God, I trust you. I don't seem to have enough, but God, I trust you. Because your word declares, I've never seen the righteous forsaken or his seed begging bread. So because of that, I say the words over the bishop elect of this house. God, I trust you. God, I trust you. And with that, how many of you come expecting a blessing this morning? Just a miracle. Just a miracle, that's all. How many of you know it takes one word, my son, just one word from God that can change your life, that can turn everything around, that can set the chaos in motion? Yeah, chaos can be set in motion. When you realize what power and authority you have, you can set your own chaos in motion. Just one word from the Lord. And that word I come to give you this morning is that it's not over. It's not over. How many of you believe that it's not over? That the enemy has come to make you believe that what's upon you has come to take you out. But I come this morning to let you know that God said, I didn't say this, God said, in fact, he said it on 8:28, it's not over. And so this morning I come to encourage you. I come to encourage you to let you know that it's not over. It's not over. And I'm going to do this by way of a testimony. I'm going to be very transparent. You may look at me after and say, is she saved for real? Yeah, I am saved. But I like to be transparent. No, I'm learning to be transparent. I don't like to be. But yeah, I'm telling the truth. But God said that if you're going to deliver my people, then you need to tell them and give them what you have experienced so that they can see a living, walking, breathing, moving testimony. Because if you haven't been through anything, you really can't tell me anything. I need to see that you have gone through, that you have gone through, and that the enemy tried to take you out, that you almost lost your mind, that you thought you was gonna lose everything that you had, but yet you're still here today. And God said to me, I need for you to be transparent. And I don't like that, but it's okay, Dela, because I'm free. And when I know that I know that I know that I don't have no business standing here this morning, I'm transparent. When the Lord said to me on Tuesday was my day off, and over the past three weeks, I didn't understand. I was going through a transformation. I did not even understand that. I'm thinking, okay, God is doing something. It's not going to last long. I'm going to move through this and I'm going to be okay. I'm coming out of this. How many of you had those moments before? Just a little something, and I'm going to be out of this. But when that little something stays longer than what you expected, you with me, daughter? When it stays longer than you expected, then you start looking for answers. You start looking for trying to understand, trying to make sense of this. What's really going on? Who did this and who didn't do this and what? And even in the midst of what was going on, and even what's going on, you cannot even articulate it. Have anybody been there? You can't even begin to get the words out to make them understand. Because I always tell you, people are listening to you for a little while. But if you take up too much of their time, they're not trying to hear you. Because they'll make you think that what you're going through is just you, and that it's not God and it's not real. And you need to get over that. But I come to let the ones that's really going through The ones that you know that God has already ordained something for you and that the enemy is standing at the gate trying to take it from you. I come to let you know this morning that God said it's not over. And as the trial began to intensify over the past 3.5 weeks, trying to understand, and I don't know whether you ever been in a trial before where it seems like your prayer life is not effective, like you really can't get God to hear you, but he hears you all the time. But what's upon you is keeping what God is saying to you from getting to you. And one of the lessons that I learned in the midst of the storm was this: when you are freaked out, when you are panicking, when you're in emotional turmoil, you cannot hear God. When his word said, "Be still and know that I am the Lord your God," that means that everything on the inside of you that's trying to trouble you has to silence itself so that you're able to hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying. And so when I got to that point where I could hear just one word from the Lord, and he let me know. He said, "Daughter, I am with you, but you must go through this." And he took me back real quickly to when he was praying in the garden. And I said, "Okay, Jesus, I see it. Even you said, God, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me." And then he said, "Nevertheless," and it took everything I could to say "nevertheless," because I needed God to take this cup right now. And finally, 2 days later, it took me 2 days, I said, "Nevertheless, God, not my will, but thine will be done." And it seemed like that the Holy Spirit began to erase everything that I thought I knew, everything that I could count upon. He's like, he just erased the memory of everything that I knew. And I kept saying, "God, what are you doing?" He said, "I'm doing a new thing. In order for me to get the new in you, I've got to push out that you think that you know, and allow me to put in that you will know, because I've done this." And I said, "Okay, God, I thank you." And so I said to the Lord, I said, I always take a retrospect of my life. I go through, is there any unforgiveness? Have I offended anybody? Because see, I need out of this storm. I don't understand. It's not making any sense to me. And when you're in a storm with someone that you love and that you care about, it does not make any sense. Y'all will get that when you get home. Because some of you are, I know for a fact that some of you are in a storm right now. And the storm that you're in is a quiet storm. And the storm that you're in has been ordained by God. And I've come to let you know, don't try to ask God to get you out of the storm. Ask God to give you the strength that you need to endure the storm. Because he said, "I will put no more on you than you can bear." So God, let him know, "I don't understand it, God, but I trust you in the midst of this. Whatever you need to do, whoever you need to take out, take them out, because I trust you." And so with that, I said to the Lord, he had just allowed me to give, to do a powerful conference. And I always tell people, Bishop Jakes wrote a book, "Can You Stand to Be Blessed?" I never read the book. The title alone spoke volumes to me. "Can You Stand to Be Blessed?" And I took from that even then and today is that when God blesses you, can you stand the naysayers that's going to be around you trying to talk about what God has done? Not only the naysayers, but the enemy. It'll make you wish that God never had blessed you. Can you stand to really be blessed by God? You want God to bless you, but I promise you, in the blessing is a storm. There is a storm in the blessing. And I watched God do a miraculous, move miraculous in this event. And then the next day, as I began to minister at the jail, and I watched 12 individuals come up to be saved, back to back, miracles that God was doing. And I said, oh God, let me put my foot down, because I don't know which way he's coming, but I know he's coming. I said, God, give me the grace. And already at that time, it was already brewing. So wait a minute. I knew that something was going to come. I just didn't know how and who. And when God takes the one that you love to put you in a storm, it doesn't make any sense. You find yourself saying in the midst of it, it had to happen. At the time when it was happening, it didn't make any sense. But when God got through, it had to happen. And so with that, God took me back to this house, and he began to allow me to recall the prophecies that he had me to release over this house, over the body, individuals. I didn't understand, but I was following, trying to go through what he wanted me to go through with what he was doing in my life. And I began to get my tablet out and look back. Well, God, you said this, and God, you said this, and God, you did this, and God, I saw this, and God, you did. And I began to see all of this. And then preceding all of that, many don't know, even the ones at the 9 o'clock, 8 o'clock service didn't even know. When you move into the weightier things of God, the weightier things of God, you do have an adversary. Y'all know that. That would try to stop you. That would try to shut you down. That would try to take your voice away from you. And then you turn around and you are hit with a spirit of infirmity that comes from the middle of nowhere. And I begin right here in this church to experience that right here. Right here. And every attempt I came, I tried to get to the man of God, the bishop elect, and say, help me, something is happening. I don't understand. Something will always come up. You ever made those calls and the calls keep dropping and the texts never go through, they never go through, and the devil gets you offended because you know you sent the text, they never text you back, and you wonder why they haven't answered you? It's a trick of the enemy. I come to let you know that these cell phones are demonic. They demonic. You losing sleep, getting mad at people, getting upset because they said you said that you didn't say that you said. That's demonic. And so finally, when I was able to get, press my way in to get a little wind to him, and I said to the bishop, I said, Bishop, help me. I said this, help me, weeks ago. I said, I don't understand what's happening. I said, every time I get on this stage to pray, there's a voice that says, you better not say it. You better not say it. Shut up. Shut up. It was getting louder and louder. In fact, Darrell, it was so loud, I was thinking that the people were hearing it, but nobody was hearing this. And then when I would press through the voice, my intestines was literally twisting on the inside, like it was coming to choke me out. And I said, Lord, wait a minute. I love going to church and I love serving you, but if it's my time to go up out of this place, deuces. Because I felt like I was being killed on the altar. Did not understand the revelation that God was revealing to me, that the enemy was trying to stop me from revealing the revelation. So when I finally got to the bishop, and I said, he said, well, what's going on? He said, because I've been praying for you. I've been interceding for you. I've been doing warfare for you. And I said, Bishop, I don't understand. All I know is that the enemy has come to take my voice, to take my prayer life. And he's hit me continuously with the spirit of infirmity. And when I say hit me, meaning that when I go to the doctor, they find nothing wrong every single time. But they kept trying to diagnose me with a foreign intestinal disease that can only come from a foreign country. And I said, the devil is a lie. and they tried to make me be in a foreign country. Do y'all understand what I'm saying? So all these things that the enemy is doing, it makes you feel like you're losing your mind. Did I really go to Africa again and I didn't know it? Did I go to Germany and I didn't know it? And it's difficult for you to talk to somebody about this because they begin to think that you're crazy as well. Yeah. And so with that, I told the bishop, I said, I recall years ago, every time I was labeled with a disease that come from a foreign country, it was demonic activity. And I said, the enemy has come up against me with everything that he has to shut me down. And I said, I need some help to get through this. I said, I wanted to run, but I told God I shall not be moved. I will not be shaken. And I was able to stand, but here's the thing. In the midst of the standing, God, worship you, Jesus. I had to go through this. I had to go through being misunderstood. I had to do this. It had to happen. It had to happen. I'm coming to let somebody know today that's what's happening in your life has to happen for God to move you from where you are to where he has already designed and positioned you to be at. And this is why the Lord said to me, it's not over. And so with much prayer and the words that bishops share with me, and I shared back and forth with him. And I said to him, he says, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. I said to the bishop, he says, what is it right now? And I said to him, I said, I feel like Paul. I said, God has given me so much revelation that I can't contain it, that all I want to do is run. And I said, help me. This is what I said to him, and he can attest to this. Help me to stay in my body with the revelation that God has given me. What kind of revelation are you talking about? I was already in church before I got to church. I didn't understand what was happening. When you can see it before they even tell it, and you want to get to them and say, wait, don't do it, and you can't, you just standing there going, God. But I said, Bishop, that's what I need help with. And I said to him, I said, I don't claim to have a thorn in my side. I don't have a messenger by Satan that sent to me. But I do understand that Paul said, I don't know whether I was in the body or out of body. But because of the abundance of revelation that was given to me, God came and silenced me. And he made me very uncomfortable. He put me in a refinery process so that he was getting ready to give and reveal to me, I would not release it until it was the appointed time. If God had given it to me, that he had already placed in me everything I need to contain it. But the adversary, you need to know that you got an adversary. You need to know this. And so with that, thinking the storm was smoothing out and over and getting over. You know how those storms we see, that it hit with a category 5 and it dies down, and you think that storm is getting ready to hit land, and all of a sudden, as soon as you get comfortable, it picks up speed again and it comes back, and now it's labeled a category 4 when it was dying down to a 3. And I said, God, what is this? What is this? And so the Lord knew that I could only go to one person with what was going on. And so what the enemy did was, I caused confusion with that one person, and I'm going to leave you out here all by yourself. That's what he thought. But I thank God that we have a praying bishop. We have a bishop that can see what the enemy is doing. We have a bishop that God speaks to, that God wakes up in the middle of the night and let him know that your daughter is in serious trouble. I thank God for that. I thank God. And so with that, as I said this morning, I want to encourage you, because the Lord showed me, he showed me that many are going through a storm as quiet as it's kept. When the bishop began to intercede for me even more, I left here. I left church. I went home. My heart was filled. It was overwhelmed, because now I know the difference between having an overwhelmed spirit and a wounded spirit. There is a difference. And I actually saw, the spirit of depression step right in front of me. And I ducked like that, fell on my knees, and began speaking into my heavenly language, weeping. I saw the spirit of depression come to me. But I thank God for having a prayer language to be able to pray it off. And I began to ask the Lord, I said, God, what is really going on? And he says, in the appointed time, I will reveal. On last week, this week, this past week, this past up, the Lord began to reveal this to me. He took me to a psychiatric ward. I'm in a vision. As I was going down the halls, the Spirit said, turn. I would turn into the room. And when I turned into the room, I would see this beautiful, beautiful lady. She was so beautiful. And the Spirit said, do you know what happened to her? And I said, no, Lord. He said, she was going through and she had nobody to listen to her. And so she went to the psychiatrist. And the psychiatrist gave her a pill to wake up, a pill to go to bed, a pill to function. And when that wasn't working anymore, when he had exhausted her funds, he committed her to this place. And the Spirit of the Lord said, do you know what's really wrong with her? And I said, no, Lord, what's wrong with her? He said, nobody would listen to her. She just needed somebody to listen to her. And this went on. 7 people. And each person got more beautiful and beautiful. And he said, daughter, I'm showing you this. He said, because you're sitting in the midst of people that have learned how to dress up their pain, dress up their fears, dress up their hopes, dress up their dreams, but on the inside, they are broken. He said, I said, God, what do you want me to do? He said, I want you to tell the story. Let them know that help is on the way. That they don't have to live in fear. They don't have to live behind a mask. He said, because I allowed it to happen to you. I have no respect of persons. If I brought you through it, I'm going to bring them through it. There is someone that you can talk to. There is someone that you can talk to. You have a friend in Jesus. You have a friend in Jesus. You have a friend in Jesus. And so with that, the word that God released, and I'm going to say this, and then I'm going to wrap up. Those that's desiring prayer, you may come to the altar. But this is the word that God released. When I was off the night before, the morning of the night before, the Spirit of the Lord said, he's giving me back my prayer life. I'm able to pray. I'm getting clarity. I'm getting sharpness of mind. My body is healing. He's strengthening me. I'm able to hear his voice now. And he says to me, he says, meet me on the altar. I said, no problem. I said, quickly, no problem. I have an altar in my other prayer room. And so I go to the other prayer room because he said, meet me on the altar. I go to the altar in the prayer room. I hear it again. And I'm looking like, I'm at the altar. He said, meet me at the altar and come alone. I went, oh God, that's not my house. That is the altar. The altar where the enemy tried to silence my voice, steal my joy, tried to take me out of my mind. Meet me at the altar, but make sure you come alone. And so, in obedience to God's words, I didn't initially quickly, readily obey. Let me just get that clear. Because I kept trying to, you know, maybe here, maybe there, not surely not from Ocala to Leesburg on my day off. This is not what God is saying. But I had no peace. I had no peace. I went to vote, text the bishop, didn't wait for a response because I knew it was God. Got here at the altar, didn't know what God was doing. Everything he had already planned, everything out. All I had to do was show up. And I got here. And after about over an hour, the Lord spoke this to me. And I'm going to share it with you because I believe that when God gives a word, it's not just for you. It's for others too. And so I'm going to share this with you. Hold on to your seats because it get a little bitter and it get a little raw, but I'm transparent. He said to me right here, laying prostrate on this altar in the last hour, going into 2 hours at the sanctuary on Tuesday morning at 11 o'clock. He said, it's not over. That's why I could declare to you this morning that it's not over. He says, you are not over. You are just beginning. For the vessel that was marred in my hand, I am making it again another. In other words, I'm not going to throw you out because you got some flaws on you, or you got some cracks on you, or because you messed it up. I'm not going to throw you out. He says, I'm making it again another. He says, I am the potter. You are the clay. Allow me to remake you, to reshape you, to revive you again. Allow my love for you to break through the pain, the heartache, the disappointment. Allow my presence to transform you to what was to now and what is and what will be. I am the Lord that heals thee. I am with thee. I never let go of my hold, nor my hands on you. It was I who wouldn't allow the adversary to take you out in your mind, in your body. My daughter, you were getting too close to what has been hidden. That's why he came to take your voice and your prayer life. In fact, he came to assassinate your character, to discredit you in the eyes of those that was watching. He said, he has come to where I have sent you now into a place to cover him, to cry aloud and spare not. Yes, as you with many others, they mock you, they criticize, they talked about you, but it was I, your God, that would not allow and will not allow the plans of the enemy to succeed. He brought upon you the spirit of fear to paralyze you in your emotions. But I, your God, held the enemy at bay. In fact, I put him on a chain And I let him know that he could only go so far. He said, when I release you, he said, let them know, as I, so will they. You will arise again in me. He says, I had to separate you for a minute. One of the words that God gave me in the midst of the storm was, wait a minute. And I said, that can't be God. Wait a minute. And so finally I realized, I said, that's the Spirit of the Lord speaking. Wait a minute. And I jumped up and I wrote it down. He says, that's why I said, wait a minute. He said, I allow you to become incapacitated so that I could get to you what you would need at my next level in me and in the body of where I sent you. I had to allow you to become incapacitated, to hold you still, to stop you. I never meant to harm you. I was taking what I knew that was upon you, that was hitting you, to lift you up, but I had to silence you by bringing you to a state of incapacitation. At the time, I didn't even know what that meant. And then he said, know this, I am with you. I am with them. Yes, the storm is over, as you have already declared that the warfare has ended. And I've sent you to comfort all those that mourn in Zion. Let them know, as I said to my servant Moses, you've been in this place long enough. And the Bible puts it this way in Exodus. And I have to read this to you because it's the story of Moses when he was leading the people out of bondage. And the people began to complain because Pharaoh's army was hot on their trail. And the Egyptians began to say, you should have let us stayed where we were. At least we wouldn't have to go through what we're going through. You should have let us die where we were, instead of you taking us to a place where we know that we're going to be killed. I'm just paraphrasing that. Because when God is moving us to a greater place, we become uncomfortable. And we wish we had stayed where we were. And because we are not used to the unfamiliar. So we want to stay where it is familiar. But God is trying to get us out of that place into the place that he has ordained. But we keep whining and complaining about the process that God is taking us through. And we don't even realize it's not the process, it's God who is leading the process. And he says to them, when God goes back to Moses, and Moses began to say to the people, to the children of Israel in Exodus 14 and the 13th verse, excuse me. And Moses said to the people, they are terrified. They think that their life is over. They're used to the place where they are. They're used to driving, having, living, wearing, enduring, tolerating the same thing over and over again. And God is trying to bring them out like he's trying to bring us out. And he says, and Moses said to the people, trying to silence them, he says, do not be afraid. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will accomplish for you today. For the Egyptians whom you see today, you will see again no more forever. All of us got some Egyptians in our life of sickness and bondage, of pains, of hardship. But the Lord said, if you will be still, this stuff that you see today, you will see again no more. The reason why, because he said, the Lord will fight for you and you shall hold your peace. Have you ever been in the midst of the storm and had to hold your peace? There is a storm that you will hold your peace. because you don't even know what to say now, because you don't even know what to say next. But I love what God said. And the Lord said to Moses, why do you cry to me? Tell the children of Egypt. No, let me read this again. And the Lord said to Moses, why do you cry to me? Tell the children of Frontier to go forth, for I am the Lord, the God. I am in the midst of thee. I am fighting for thee. I'm the God that healed thee. I'm the God that will deliver thee. I'm the God that will transform you. I am the Lord, your God. So I come this morning to let you know that it's not over. And the Lord said that we've been in this place long enough. And I come to encourage you that God said, go forth. Go forth. You can't stay here. You can't stay in the same place. You got to rise up. You got to rise up. You cannot stay here. And the last word that God spoke, because many of us has been mistreated in some form, whether in home, job, wherever. And we know for a fact that the enemy has taken some things from us. We know this. He said, let them know that the warfare is over. You've been in this place long enough, and that I will vindicate you. There's people sitting before me in this midst that need God, not you, to vindicate you. The Lord said, vengeance is his. Vindication is yours. God is going to vindicate you. I don't care what it looks like. I don't care. Thank you, because somebody needs the vindication. You don't have to do anything. You don't have to say anything. All you got to do is be still and know that the Lord, he is your God, and that he will fight for you, and that he has already gone before you, and that he is turning the hearts of men to favor you. You don't have to do anything but be still and know that he is the Lord your God. Stand to your feet and let's bless the Lord in this house. Let's bless the Lord in this house. Come on with me and lift up the name of Jesus. He's awesome in this place. He's mighty in this place. He's our Redeemer. Hallelujah. 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 Father, we worship you. We thank you, God. We thank you. We bless you. We bless you this morning. And those that may find themselves in a place where anything that God has released this morning and need to reaffirm their faith and commitment in God, to know that, yes, God, I'm in this place. I don't understand. Yes, I backed up. Yes, I had for a moment even given up, God. But I'm coming back because I know that your hands are upon me for good and not evil, God. Father, I thank you as those, God, make their way to this altar as a symbol, God, to you, a sign to you, God, that they're showing, God, yes, Father God, for he who has begun a good work within you, he shall complete it. He shall. That's what he said. God doesn't start anything that he doesn't complete. He doesn't complete. And many of us need restoration. We need restoration. Stop looking for the answer, because God is the answer. Stop looking for what you need in man, because I'm here to let you know, in all due respect, they mean well, but this is not the season where man can really help you. This is a God season. God is doing a new thing, not man. God is doing a new thing. And when God does this thing, all man can do is mess it up. I'm telling you, you are living, you're looking at a living, walking, breathing testimony of what God can do. You're looking at someone as a testimony that God, that says God can restore. You're looking at someone that have lived out the scripture that what the enemy meant for evil, God turned that thing for my good and for his glory. And as I shared this morning in a 9 o'clock prayer, when you know that you know that you know that God has done it, you can declare what I declare this morning. Devil, you should have killed me when I felt like dying. But I declare and decree this morning, I shall not die, but live and declare the works of the Lord. The works of the Lord. I'm even praying for infirmities. I'm praying for undiagnosed medical problems, because there's some standing right here at the altar with me this morning that they don't know what it is, and they don't have to know what it is, because I'm declaring healing. One of the things that God asked me, he said, is there not a bond in Gilead? Is there not a king in you? And I'm not giving you nothing that he has not given me. So if the Lord took man's report over my body and turned it around and confounded them and was able to say, we can't find anything wrong with her, I'm believing that God will do and is doing the same for you right now. I'm also declaring over you this morning that you are not going crazy. Yes, I know that you've been having sleepless nights. You've been tossing and turning. You've been trying to figure everything out. You've been crying in your sleep. You've been trying to get somebody to listen to you. And the enemy got you thinking that you're losing your mind. The devil is a lie. You are not losing your mind. You are not losing your mind. The Bible declares that you have the mind of Christ. And the Lord makes you a quick understanding in the fear of the Lord. You are not losing your mind. We're going to make the devil lose his mind, but you are not losing your mind. He make you think that you're isolated, that you got nobody to talk to, nobody understands you, nobody likes you, you don't want to hang around. What you need to do is open up your mouth and say, shut up! If God be for me, who can be against me? The Bible declares that he's the father of lies. He's the father of lies. Every time you begin to do a good work, the enemy always finds fault, complaining. This ain't good enough. I got to do this all by myself. I don't know why they're not rising up. I don't know why they're not helping me. Hey, God said, wait, I call you to do it. I didn't call them to do it. You trying to bring in contamination, and I'm trying to keep it out. I call you. I anointed you. You are not alone. I'm with you. You asked for everybody help, but did you ask for my help? Did you ask me to provide what it is that you need? God said, I'm a jealous God. And you're looking for your resources, for your help in everybody else. And I'm standing there saying, but I am the Lord, your God. While you're yet speaking, I hear you, but you're not talking to me. You're talking to everybody else but me. I come to declare this morning that God will hear your cry. He is the greatest intercessor there is. One of the things that he said to me in this time, he brought me back to his scripture that said, Jesus Christ is the apostle high priest over our confession. This is what the Bible says, that Jesus Christ is the apostle high priest over our confession. And what we confess is the word of God. And the Lord lets me know that the high priest's job is to implement and to carry out what we say. So the Lord said, whatever you saying out your mouth, I will back you up. He said, but I only respond to my word. I only respond to my word.